Welcome once again to the world of photographer Fran Gardino and the way he looks at the world. Fran is an artist constantly searching for that new insight, a different way of looking at things, a new angle, always interesting. We'll talk about what he's been up to lately, industrial art that tells a story, and a little more about wabi-sabi. Let's move in and get a closer look at Fran Gardino. We've been looking at a photo of a factory.
Yeah, that was the Everett factory, some kind of metal factory. I think it was some kind of foundry.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it wasn't a foundry. It was a forging. I know there's a company named Market Forge in Everett, but I don't think this particular place was Market Forge. So forging is the bending of metals, and so they buy it in sheets and then they bend it, or they buy it in strips and they'll bend it, you know, as opposed to extruding and,
mm-hmm.
you know, foundry, which casts it. I don't really know that much about it, although I did go for the tour of the Saugus Ironworks, so they told us a little bit about that. And there's a lot of history of iron.
Oh, is this it?
That's it.
Okay, so we're looking at this factory now.
Yep.
What are they doing there?
Well, it looks like they bend metal in different shapes for, like, different industrial uses. So it might be for shelving, for racks. It's not extruded. It's more like it's sheets that were bent into a, like a tube almost,
mm-hmm.
a rectangular tube. And then they ship them off in these little skids or pallets. And they look like they're all custom made. They don't look like it's for a, like a Home Depot or anything like that. It's more for a custom application for some company that needs them to support a machine or, you know, some other type of industrial application.
So you call this one the industrial charm of Everett.
Yeah, because it's a little factory, and it's got this strange tower, rusty tower, that looks like it's part of a furnace of some kind. And there are these big ducts that go up and over to the side. And then down below on the ground, we're looking at the backside of it on the outside. Backside of the building, there are these little pallets, wooden pallets that have just a small little, you know, pile of freshly made bent metal tubing, and there's a rusty old forklift there. It's a little one. It looks like, you know, not a very expensive one, a very low end forklift. It's seen a better day. It's probably a good 30 or 40 years old, anyways. And then the factory building itself is all wooden. And there, it looks like the windows, it's got to be at least 60 or 80 years old, with asbestos shingles, I think.
It looks like
there's glass...
glass brick.
Glass bricks. Glass windows, mm-hmm. Right. You're right. So there's not a lot of business going on there, but it looks like it's still in business because, you know, it's still a... You know, there are cars there, and there's a forklift, and there are fresh pallets, fresh skids of a new product there. It's although, you know, not a lot. This is just the end of the era. I know not far from this little plant is a big junkyard almost. It's a big pile of rusty metal that's been salvaged. And it's real close to the end of the dock of the, you know, it's on the Mystic River. And, you know, big ships come by and they pick it up and they take it off somewhere, Japan or somewhere.
Do you have a picture of that somewhere?
No, I've been trying to get close to it, but I couldn't get any permission to get in there.
Mm-hmm.
I do have some pictures where you can see it from a distance. What I feel is that this picture does say it all because... It's the end of the era. Everett was an industrial town, really booming. I mean, it's still industrial today, but not this type of industry. It's more, we have, you know, an Edison plant, and there's district gas, and then there's some kind of salvage yard. There's also a cement factory. So, but it's not the same. It's not like a foundry or a you know, a forging factory, or where they actually manufacture things. We don't see a lot of manufacturing going on in Everett. At least I'm not aware of it. You know, so it's basically, it's the end of industrialization, you know, and it's you know, the tail end. You know, here's one last company that's hanging on for its dear life. You know, it's just barely shipping product, and it's old and rusty. It doesn't have money to maintain the building. It just, they just, you know, maybe when the owner passes away and gives the company to his son, his son is already gone. Maybe he's already on doing some computer business already, and this is just the end of it. And I don't see where they can get more business, because, you know, labor is expensive, and, you know, today's population, they don't want to work in a foundry or a forging factory. You know, they just don't want that kind of life. So, you know, but there are still some people that are doing it. And that's why I say this is kind of says it all. This is where we are today. And we have to come up with new ways, you know, to make a living and you know, keep things going. Not far from there, they have some other places where they, there's actually a recycling plant, and there's a big pile of rusty metal. This is not the salvaging yard that I was talking about, but there's a big field where they have all these old rusty industrial parts and pieces, and, you know, beams and pipes and gears, and, you know, all kinds of strange things. And eventually this is going to get melted down and turned into, you know, maybe a car, you know, in Japan, you know, or maybe Tennessee, depending on where they actually manufacture it. But it's, you know, it's an area that's in transition where, you know, some of the items are still there. And then, of course, I love rebar. So in that section of Everett, there's a building that's coming down, and they have this big pile of rebar with, you know, a lot of broken stones, and it's gray, and some rusty metal parts in it too. But it really looks like an abstract painting. It has that same look, you know, like I wouldn't say Jackson Pollock. I'd say it looks more like what Frank Stella does today. And actually, he's doing a lot of this metal work, where it's just these big bold pieces that just jut out from the wall, or just, you know.
I know that there's a guy that does it with all natural objects.
Natural objects. Oh yeah.
The kids have done exercises at school. I can't remember his name. They've devoted a whole calendar to, I mean, the kids bring their own materials and arrange them in all different ways.
Abstract ways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not so abstract ways, too.
Well, this was a found site. You know, this was the way it was. And so I couldn't resist, you know, just shooting it.
So,
you know,
even though there's man-made stuff there, can that be considered wabi-sabi?
Yeah, I would think it would somewhat. I think the rusty stuff is more wabi-sabi. But, you know, the only reason why this gray one would not be is because the rebar is not really worn. It's, for some reason, it's still gray. And so it hasn't seen the weather. So it hasn't seen a worse time. And it's still kind of, you know, fresh. And it's probably because the rebar was actually inside the cement before they took the building down. And it was protected from the rain and everything, so it didn't get rusted, so it doesn't qualify as wabi-sabi as far as I'm concerned.
Okay,
now maybe somebody else will look at it and say, yeah, it is. There is a couple of wabi-sabi pieces in it. There's some rusty angle iron, it looks like. That would probably qualify, but, you know, not too much of it there. So generally I'd say it's maybe one-third wabi-sabi and then two-thirds not. So it's funny how that, you know, that works. You know, it's you know, wabi-sabi, you know, it's desolate and it's alone, and it's almost like it, you know, has to qualify. Like, would you put that in the category of being able to sing the blues, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think that one I would be able to say is singing the blues.
Give me a little history lesson. How did this wabi-sabi, where the name come from? And or is it just, oh, it just come from somewhere back in history?
Japanese. Actually, it came from Zen, and actually I have a explanation of that on my website, I have a whole page that talks about wabi-sabi.
I guess I haven't done my homework.
Well, that's okay.
I'll have to look further on the site.
Yeah, I can browse over to it if I can, you know, get the computer to respond to my clicks. But basically, it was in response to glitter. So, like the Louis XIV, where there's a lot of gold and really ornate, you know, artwork and
right.
decoration and all that.
But in Japan, the Sun King wasn't a problem.
Japan, it really wasn't in reaction to Japanese. It was more in reaction to the Chinese, because they had a similar thing with all this gold.
Gilded stuff,
mm-hmm. yeah. And so at the same time, you know, and I think that's where the French really tapped into what was going on in Japan, because they saw a lot of, you know, similar things happening. So where the Chinese were very, very ornate, the Japanese, you know, took it. And although Zen, you know, there was Zen in China too, that, you know, that the Japanese took it and they said, okay, we're going to make this, you know, this ours, because, you know, it's we like simpler things. You know, we want to get away from the overly ornate, the intrinsic beauty of things. I do have a wabi-sabi page, which is, you know, you can find on my homepage. There's actually a link to it. And I have a bunch of different quotes on that page that explain it. And I've given links too, so that you can actually go and see what they said. So, you know, the Wikipedia says that it's a comprehensive Japanese worldview or aesthetic centered on the acceptance of transience. So, you know, it's, you know, time and things changing. And so there are a lot of other websites on it. There's a magazine, Natural Home Magazine, that's got some great articles about it, and poems and the haiku and you know, and actually to quote them, this is Robin Griggs Lawrence in Natural Home Magazine. She says, "Emerging in the 15th century as a reaction to the prevailing aesthetic of lavishness, ornamentation, and rich materials, wabi-sabi is the art of finding beauty in imperfection and profundity in earthiness, of revering authenticity above all." So basically, you can pretty much says it in a nutshell. There's another line that actually made me look up a word in the dictionary, which kind of blew me away. This one is by Andrew Juniper in his book Wabi Sabi, and it says, "Rooted firmly in Zen thought, Wabi Sabi art uses the evanescence of life to convey the sense of melancholic beauty that such an understanding brings." So the word I looked up was evanescence.
That's a band.
It's a band. Yeah,
yes, that's right. That's
up
a band. That's
I did find
no
a band.
Problem. No.
And what does the band do? What does the band do? What is it? What is the band all about? Can you remember? I mean, I don't really know what it's called.
Shining a light, I guess?
No, it was actually the, I don't remember the exact definition, but it's the wisp, you know, how quickly life will go away. It's almost like evanescence of life is we're blowing out a candle. Mm-hmm. The evanescence, and it's out and it's gone. Evanescence. That's how fast
fleetingness.
The fleetingness.
Ephemera.
Yep. Yep. And it's a great thing, because, you know, melancholic beauty is not too happy, because things are going away, you know, sad. And but it, you know, it uses that evanescence to convey, you know, beauty. So it's kind of like driftwood, where, you know, you can see the life has been taken out of that wood that was once vibrant and part of a boat or something, and or part of a big tree, you know, and it's that evanescence is blowing the candle out.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a lot of photos of examples of what I see as wabi-sabi on that page. And it's basically where you can see the passage
yeah.
on particular items. You know, generally they're trees and you know, wooden type objects. So the passage of time, and it actually has to be humble too. And I wrote a little almost like a words to the song from Frank Zappa, his Wowie Zowie song, which turns out the words are not quite right, because I don't think I got all the phrases correct. I think I have too few lines in it, but
it's been a long time since you've listened to
the It was
mothers.
A long time
mothers
since I've heard the song, but I remembered the song. And it was a great song. You know, and basically it's instead of Wowie Zowie,
it's Wowie
it's
Zowie.
Wabi, yeah, Wowie Zowie, Wabi. Baby, you're so fine.
Wabi Sabi.
Yeah, it's Wabi Sabi, baby, you're so fine. Wabi Sabi, baby, please be mine. And then it just, you know, goes into, I don't care if you trim your weeds. I don't care if you mow your lawn. I don't care if you rake your leaves. I don't care if your yard's a mess. So basically.
Oh, thank goodness. I don't have to trim. Thanks. Yeah. You can come over to my house anytime.
Yeah. Man. So I end this page with this one photo of a branch that's in the snow, and it's on its way to being completely melted. Because it's full of snow and little ice crystals, and within a few seconds, it's going to be down to its twigs that are underneath it, and so the little ice crystals are going to be gone. And that's, to me, that was almost like the ultimate in evanescence. It's almost like you can actually see the candle being blown out, and it's at that exact moment. And you know, if I waited 5 more seconds, it would have been gone. And to me, that would be the ultimate. And so, you know, it's not easy to find those examples of it, but I had a lot of fun. I still look for it too. So it's, you know, in general, a lot of my work looks for, you know, trying to stay away from the overly garish and decorative and, you know, too, you know, fancy. I really don't like a lot of the over, you know, ornamentation and gold and.
Well, why did you wear a tuxedo to do this podcast?
Well, as you notice, it's made out of denim. So
it's all burlap sand.
Yeah, it's a burlap. It's a Wabi Sabi tuxedo. I'll have to write a little song about that or a poem about that too. I don't know what it would be, but so, you know, if we go back to, you know, what we have in the on the Google Earth section of my website, I've got some other interesting pictures of you know, an old dumpster. Mm-hmm. And that probably would fall into the category of Wabi Sabi, although it's not quite so lonely, because it is still being used. And but it's this nice blue colored dumpster. It's got a lot of rust on it, and it's got these old stickers that were peeled off, and so they almost look like what's left looks like teeth. So it's almost like a sad dumpster, and I called it the Brave Little Dumpster, and it's in Newton Upper Falls.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually my wife and daughter asked me to name it that, so I figured I would.
The Brave Little Dumpster.
Yeah.
The
dumpster that could. You got it. Because it's all just sitting there. And then right next to it in that section of Newton Upper Falls is a place called Mandarin Cuisine. It's a nice Chinese restaurant. It's not a very big or fancy restaurant, but it does have its own unique ornateness. When you go inside, the owner has actually decorated the whole place with bottle caps and you know, the wrapping from a wine bottle, that mm-hmm. lead wrapping that comes
yeah.
on there,
mm-hmm.
and he's taken all those pieces and he's stuck them on the wall, and he's done it in a pattern, so it almost looks like, you know, wallpaper, and you almost wouldn't notice it if you don't look close. And then he's got all these strange different little stickers on the wall, and he's got paintings of bubbles that look like an aquarium, and some old statues of different kinds of Chinese artwork in there. And then he also has this whole wall where there's pictures of military veterans that come back from the different wars. And he has pictures of him with them in the restaurant, because he loves veterans. And he's also got some, you know, different people who, you know, maybe somewhat famous you know, like the mayor of Boston, Mayor Menino, and different people that come around. And it just so happens that this particular Chinese restaurant is diagonally across the 128 from WHDH, from Channel 5.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's still Channel 5. The TV, one of the local TV stations. You know, all I can see is that, you know, people, you know, they're in the TV station, they want to get a quick bite to eat. So they come right across the street, come across the 128 and, you know, get a quick bite. And they go in, maybe they go in there because they have beer and wine. And I could see where they just, you know, they just love it. They just love all the character of this place, you know, and it's got, you know, so much character to it.
I've driven by it many times and never really noticed.
And the food is really good. You know, I'm not saying it's absolute gourmet, but it's you know, it passes my daughter Natalie's test.
Fran, this is turning into a restaurant guide.
This is a restaurant guide, this particular one. But it's, you know, it's a little bit wabi-sabi because he's using all these strange things to decorate his place. And in a way, it's you know, I wouldn't call it wabi-sabi, but it's got the same kind of mentality.
Authenticity?
like, you know,
character.
Reaction and you know, just what he's trying to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to make fun of, you know, the expensive ornate stuff.
Right, right.
So, you know, he's saying, okay, I can do ornate, I can do gold, but I'm doing it with an old, you know, bottle cap. You know, it looks like it's gold.
I hear you.
So he's taking all these simple things and turning them into
Corona gold.
Corona gold, yeah, yeah.
Let's see how much we've recorded here. I think we're probably good.
That's it? He's only talked about 4 photos.
That's good.
That's enough, huh?
They'll give us something to talk about the next time.
Okay.
So we'll talk more next time about your various projects, what you've already got photographed, and I'm sure you'll have some new stuff the next time we speak.
Absolutely.
This podcast is produced by me, Norm Tebow, at Hey Norm Productions. Copyright 2009 by Fran Gardino and Norm Tebow. But feel free to share this show with anyone you think might be interested. You can see images and find out more about Fran's work at www.frangardino.com. Thank you for listening.